We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Three more years.
What's up, everybody?
Plus an option.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Scott and I are joking about the fact that the Yankees have re-signed Aaron Boone to 3 years because it's the only way we know how to cope with the just terrible news, in my opinion, I think in your opinion as well. I tweeted out when I saw the news, sad day for Yankees fans, because it's really the organization admitting that pretty good, kind of mediocre, is sufficient for them.
Or they just don't know what they're doing.
What's worse?
I don't know. Either way, I think we both expected this to happen. You know, this was something that we identified. If they didn't make this change at the All-Star break or in July at some point, like, it wasn't going to get
more. 48 hours after they got their butts kicked in the wild card game. Once it went past like Thursday of that week and we just heard nothing from the team, we knew the writing was on the wall. This is what was going to happen. Even with the mini coaching shakeup at the end of last week, still nothing on Boone. We knew this was coming. I don't know.
This is also their track record. This is what they do. They extend. They don't.
Yeah.
They haven't left a manager. I mean, we haven't had very many managers in the last 25 years, but the ones that have been here for 10 years. Plus, you know, that's kind of the mark, and that's what they're setting up for again, getting close to that. So they're in it. Brian Cashman's in it. They're in it. That means, by the way, there's a Cashman extension coming at some point in the near future too, probably.
Well, no, he's already got a contract, I think, through 2025.
Is it through 25? I thought it was shorter than that. There was an option in there somewhere. But either way, they're clearly staying long-term. The Steinbrenner family is good with the direction, and just they're disappointed in the results because they had the ability to be there, but they believe in this guy. So
it just sucks. I almost like feels we're going to talk about the press conference, but like, I'm not going to rehash everything we've said on Boone and why I don't think he's equipped to be the manager. I've talked about that enough. It just sucks that they are sticking with him and that they're not willing to make what I think is a necessary change, like a legitimate change. And now there were some positives, I think, from today. Brian Cashman pretty much saying the roster is not good enough, which is not something he has said in the last few off seasons, basically, that he always preaches we have the team to win the World Series. This year he admitted we didn't really have the team to win the World Series. Could they have done some damage, in his words? Yes, but he also said he admitted we knew it could have been a first round knockout like it was because of the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this team. So I will at least grant him that was good, because there's some admission that things need to change. I think it's ridiculous that then 45 minutes after Brian Cashman talked about that, Aaron Boone says he believes the roster is good enough to win a championship. He just sounds like an absolute moron. Yet another reason why I hate that he's the manager. It's one thing to sit there in June, July, August and say that he believes in his guys, even though we see with our own eyes that it's not working, because at least you have the defense of this is in season. I can't quit on my team in season. But now when your general manager at noon says this team needs major changes, and then at 12:45, Aaron Boone says, nope, we got what we need in-house, you just sound like an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, you have the ability at that point to now talk about the team in a way that is relatable to your fan base, because at this point you're on a different planet than everybody else who's watching this team. So, and I guess that's part of the reason, right? That's part of the reason why some of these coaching changes were made as well, because he had baseball guys in his ear too much. And on the few times that he did use instinct and gut and, you know, baseball acumen, they are looking down upon that and that's frowned upon. So there's mixed things coming, like the fact that they need someone in there to drive home, to be the bad guy in the dugout, but also they need someone, they need more people that are kind of following the company line with the analytics, kind of
confusing.
Also going the back message, and forth on what that is. Yeah.
It's mixed messaging coming from them. Yeah. One of the reasons that they cited that they're moving on specifically from Phil Nevin is because that they felt he had Aaron Boone's ear too much and that they didn't like that. Phil Nevin notoriously.
Okay, by the way, not an indictment on the manager who
right,
has the person.
You're the boss, dude. In this little ecosystem, Aaron Boone is the boss, right?
We didn't like. You know what this is like? This is like when your child is hanging out with a kid that you don't like. It's not the kid's fault. It's the other kid's fault. It's the other kid's fault who's getting little Johnny into this mess. He's putting him in bad situations. He's not making the decisions. It's this other kid. It's in his ear. It's Phil Nevin. Phil Nevin's the bad guy here. It's crazy.
What are we supposed to believe? So this doesn't look good for the whole Boone isn't a puppet argument, right?
Isn't a puppet? I'd say it does. It actually lends to the point that he was pushing back much.
But what I'm saying is, right. And that's why they're getting rid of Nevin and maybe some others. But
so maybe they're trying to, maybe this is
they're
just,
trying to,
they're playing like chess here.
He was a puppet. Like Boone.
Not enough of a puppet.
Being kept around. No. Cashman's keeping Boone around because he knows he's ultimately a puppet. Maybe he got a little out of line. And so they have to whack
him around.
Pegs off underneath them. So that he can get back to just falling in line company. I don't know. The whole thing, I
don't know who's
don't like
giving
it.
What information.
I don't
know how the information is being disseminated. I don't know what is what in this organization right now. I really don't. Because exactly right. You hear from them talking about Nevin being too much in the ear of Boone. And that was a fault. And part of the reason why the man got fired, because his manager listened to the things that he was saying and they were going against analytics. Like how is that not an indictment on the guy who's in charge of that dugout? That's what I don't understand. You just essentially knock down the credibility of the leader of the dugout at that point, saying he's too taken by other people's opinions and doesn't use his own judgments for particular situations, whether it be going with the analytics or using what he sees. It's going against him.
I'd love to get specifics, not like actual specifics on like, oh, in game 75, he did this and he listened to. No, I mean, like, what types of things are they talking about? Because I still see a team that is wildly undisciplined, has no fundamentals. They make the same mistakes over and over again. Is that Phil Nevin's fault for that? Or is that just bad coaching top to bottom, which includes Aaron Boone? If you're saying that he doesn't like some in-game decision, was it what in-game moves did they not like when they started to hit and run some more and steal some bases?
Yeah.
The only good stretch of baseball they played all season.
Well, what's interesting is that one of the comments from Tim's was talking about some of the drills that they had used in the minor leagues and that they didn't carry them over into the big leagues, and like they should have done more of that type of stuff. And there was just a disconnect with the way things were done in the minor leagues and the way things were done in the major leagues. You know, because they're major league hitters and professional hitters was essentially the reasoning there and why they didn't use all of the same drills that they would in, you know, double A, triple A, and how they teach in the minor league. So yeah, at the end of the day, what it doesn't, what that completely misses is that I agree, the coaches should still do a lot of those things because baseball drills are really meant for fundamentals and, like, you know, backing up the things that, yes, they can do it. They're good at baseball. We get it. They're in the professional leagues. Guys in double A and triple A are also good at baseball. You know, they're not like the needing of those little drills. But what it does is it effectively helps your game no matter where you are. That's the point of those drills. It always affects your game because baseball needs to be consistently drilled. It's one of those where consistent. It's like saying a professional basketball player doesn't need to practice shooting free throws. Of course they do.
Right. Yeah. And some of the other comments that just rubbed me the wrong way today. It's like, okay, I get it. You're bringing back Aaron Boone. But Brian Cashman, with some of these, in my opinion, wildly outlandish statements, quote, if Aaron Boone was entering the free agent market as a manager, he'd be the number one manager available. He then tripled down on it, talking about how general managers from afar have complimented him on how good Aaron Boone has been. It's like you're either just lying through your teeth, or it's just your boys club of other general managers who's like, hey man, how'd you find that puppet? I need to find a puppet.
My guy Billy Bean was saying, loved Aaron Boone as a manager.
Was it other general managers that Aaron Boone just like puked all over his shoes on and they blew the game and then they sent you a text, hey, real nice move by Aaron Boone there.
It's people from the Red Sox, Tampa and Toronto. They're like, oh, right. Great. He's doing a great job. He's doing even the Orioles, like, oh yeah, phenomenal job. If we had an opportunity to hire him, we would do it tomorrow. You guys just keep doing what you're doing. It's really working. It's so stupid. Oh yeah, the guys that I trust that are competing against me, really good job. Phenomenal. Make sure you keep Aaron Boone under lock and key. Otherwise, we might grab him. Dumbass. And they snicker in the background. It's just a crazy statement.
One of the also laughable moments of the press conference today, Aaron Boone was asked point blank, what does this team need to do better to win a World Series? And he did not have a coherent answer for it. As if that question would just came out of nowhere. It baffles me how this guy can be so unprepared and so overmatched in basic shit.
Well, he hasn't gotten the reports yet. He's not allowed to use any baseball knowledge that he has. He hasn't gotten the spreadsheet about what he needs to say about how they can improve and what they need to be a championship team. He hasn't gotten that email yet.
So I got a lot of this on Twitter today, and I've seen this over the past basically 5 months since everyone's been calling for Boone's job. It's that, oh, who's going to replace him? Who's going to be better than him? If you don't have a replacement, then you can't call for the firing. And I say, poppycock. Yes, you can. I don't need to have a reply to who is going to replace Boone to know that Boone is not the man for the job. Nick Kirby from George's Box has made this analogy many times. I saw him make it on Twitter again, I believe, this week. When my car breaks down and the motor stops working, I don't know how to fix it, but I know it's broken. It's like I've watched enough baseball in my time to know that what their current manager is doing is not good. And he's bad at his job, and they need to get someone else to do a better job. Now, I can talk about what types of managers that I think would be good. I don't have specifics,
but that's the fundamental problem.
In that industry.
But that's the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that all of the people that you might name or anybody who's looking for a change is not going to go along and coincide with the way that the Yankees organization is doing business. It's not going to go along. They need a guy like Aaron Boone. Who is doing so? The way that they're looking at this is Aaron Boone is the number one guy out there who understands analytics, who will do the things that we say, who will implement the company line and make sure that he's going down there and will not use his brain as much as humanly possible, like some of these other older guys. He will not do that. So he is the number one candidate in that vein of candidates. And that's the problem. When you're asking for a solution, I would give an answer that gives you a fundamental difference in the
different
way that,
path,
a different way that route. That the organization is going, and they would
that's
have to.
I would give a similar answer. And
they would have to steer
that,
so. Into a different direction.
It would need to be Brian Cashman also needs to leave because Brian Cashman has a vision in a course for this organization.
Or Brian Cashman would have to be open to a different way. If Brian Cashman was able to identify that this wasn't working. This was the way that we were moving forward, but this was not working. And could identify some, like he's got the ability, I think, to make a pivot, but I think he's too far down the line at this point.
Yeah, and most
and the organization is too deep because it's through the organization now, the way that they're doing this. So
but
if they made that change, it would be it's not an easy change.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pretty much every organization that consistently wins, just look at the playoffs this year, right? The Red Sox, Alex Cora, he's an analytically driven manager. That certainly Chaim Bloom, their general manager, is very analytics heavy, but Alex Cora also has the pulse of his team,
yes,
and a backbone,
yes,
in order to get his players to play for him. Okay. Kevin Cash, who was in the World Series last year and had the best record in the American League this year. I mean, they're all analytics to a fault that even like bites them and it comes and bites them in the ass because they just can't make decisions on the fly. It has to be already mapped out and they have to have an opener and then a bolt guy and then this and then it's just like they overanalyze the crap out of everything. Same thing with the Dodgers. Brian Roberts in a game 5 against the Giants didn't even get to pick his own starting pitcher. Like this is happening rampant throughout baseball.
Yeah.
But the problem that the Yankees have with Aaron Boone is he's an idiot. He's just stupid, okay? How many times over the past 4 years has he not pinch run for a guy until a pitch has already been thrown in the at-bat? To me, that's just someone who the game is too fast for him. Every jamoke on Twitter can know, hey, Tyler Wade should already be doing sprints in the dugout ready to go when Giancarlo Stanton gets on base because he's going to need the pinch run. But nope, got to have the first pitch thrown to Luke Voit before we get the pinch runner. That's just an idiot managing.
Maybe that's just him having to battle his Phil Nevin demon, you know, trying to tell him not to do something and then he's got to go the other way. I mean, look, it's not that These are not like small moments that have happened. Gabe Kapler did some dumb shit when he was with Philly, as well. Like there's really just like dumb things with you know the switching and not having guys ready. And he did some moronic things. Like he was a first time manager. Aaron Boone is not that. He doesn't get that first time manager clip anymore. Like, he's been around the block now. He's been here. So he should have a much deeper lay of the land as far as what he's supposed to do.
Next year will be year five.
Things. Right.
Next year will be year five.
Gabe Kapler has, you know, gone to different places and proved that he can do well. I don't know.
If we saw improvements over the past four seasons with Aaron Boone, maybe I'd feel differently, but I've seen regression.
We've seen regression in the roster as well, in a way that a lot of things have been going on. I mean, you could look at that from different areas of staying healthy. And, you know, obviously if we're talking to the physical nerds and the path that they're on right now is better because of the health that they had by two of their biggest players. So maybe next year that they've gotten all of this information, they'll be able to supercharge their players here. And then Aaron Boone will have no excuses.
Yeah. And there was a bunch of other stuff that Cashman talked about. Couple injury updates. LeMahieu, he had his sports hernia surgically repaired. Same doctor that Lou Voigt went to. He should be ready for spring training. Jameson Taillon will have ankle surgery at the end of the month. It's 5 months to recover. Those are the main two injury updates. I also saw an update that they talked about Clint Frazier on how he's still constantly in contact with the Yankee team doctors and they just don't know what's wrong with him. But Brian Cashman did admit, like I said, that the team was especially bad this year and is poorly constructed. One thing I loved that he came out and said point blank, Gleyber Torres is not a shortstop.
He's better thank God that
second base.
Look, there's an acknowledgement there. Finally, thank you. Appreciate that. Going into this, we have clarity. They are addressing a shortstop position.
Right.
That's happening.
Yeah. And now, whether they sign a free agent, which many people want them to do, or if they just go with depth and stopgap, who knows? But Gleyber Torres will not be the Yankees shortstop in 2020.
Shortstop is a quote, direct quote. Shortstop is an area of need. So we have to address it. To me.
I know. But you know how like you can parse words with them. They can be like, yes, we need to get a shortstop and we're going to go get Angelton Simmons.
Well, again, if you're looking at that position as a long-term fix from the minor leagues, like that's an approach. Okay. That's your approach. I fundamentally understand what you're doing at that point, right? You are saying this is a stopgap. This is not a long-term solution. This guy is going to be the long-term shortstop. We believe in that. And that's the plan. Okay.
Now,
fine. If you have a plan, great.
If they make big changes to the roster, Brian Cashman said that he will be open-minded to anything and everything on this roster, as we should be when it comes to the trade market and free agency. If they're different at multiple positions next year, I think I will be able to convince myself that next year will be different.
Yeah.
But if they're the same, if the roster out of the 26 guys, 23 of them are the same and it's like the same starters, and Aaron Boone is still the manager, why would we believe next year is going to be any better?
Well, I think you look at the first half of the season. That's why. You look at the first half of the season and how everybody underperformed, essentially. Besides pitch, some pitching did well. But when you look,
the pitching staff did not underperform in the first half.
The offensive side, practically the entire offensive side, except for a couple guys, were abysmal and just awful. So you can't really have much of a worse offensive first half of the year than what they did. You really can't. It was bad. So that's the first thing I look at. Got to get out of the gate start faster. Got to get more complementary players to be able to hit. But again, you know, depending on what they do and how they address this, I think right now we already know we're going to have a different shortstop. We're going to have a different second baseman. So that means this roster is already shaken up. LeMahieu is going to play where? First base or third base? One of the two. He's going to play one of those places. So, yeah, the roster is going to look different already.
No, good. If the roster looks different, then we can hold on to something. We can grasp something and say, okay, this is why it's going to be better.
But even you're saying the other side of it, like how do you know it's going to be different? I think it has to be different just by the small changes. The changes that we already know are coming, it's going to be different.
I guess. But, I mean, I still think they're major problems up the middle of this team. Catcher, shortstop, center field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Hicks will be healthy and good to go. So,
right. But I think that if you go into next season
with Gary Sanchez as your, quote, starting catcher and Higgy catching two-fifths of the rotation and Aaron Hicks injury waiting to happen in center field and who knows what at shortstop, why is the season going to go any better?
I have a gut feeling that they're going to really change the catcher position. I do. I have a gut feeling that they're going to do that.
I mean, you're not going to do it on the free agent market. Last year was the year to do it on the free agent market. This year, it's not. So you're going to have to move on, make a trade. Yeah. Okay, fine. Again, if you're talking about drastically changing the roster, yeah, maybe Aaron Boone can. I mean, he did manage the team to over 100 wins in his first two seasons. Yes, the team, you know, offensively was tops in the league. But, okay.
The way that they're approaching this offseason, and I'll talk myself into this. I'll talk myself into anything, to be honest. But this one, I do believe I can get behind a little bit more. Brian Cashman acknowledge that the team wasn't good enough. I don't care what Aaron Boone says, because that doesn't matter. Brian Cashman acknowledged that this team, the guy that's pulling the strings, acknowledged that this team wasn't good enough to do anything. And also acknowledged that if they were to make it, that they would possibly get knocked out. Like, that's pretty significant coming from him, I'd say. Which leads me to believe that you need to now back up that statement and identify these areas of need and why that didn't happen and make those changes. So I think that, like, you put a different product out in the field, that's going to make them look better also for because of bringing Aaron Boone back. And I think that's going to, they're going to do everything they possibly can to get him in that position because they can't, they're extending him. This is it. Like, you're 1,000% all in on him. Like, you got to win a championship at some point and you cannot win it with this current roster. And I feel like Brian Cashman knows that by acknowledging that the roster that they had, even after the trade deadline, not winnable deep into the postseason. So what does that say? That says that we need to shake up this roster in a pretty significant way. One or two people doesn't really change the whole landscape of what this team is. Like, they need to change it up. And starting catcher is a big area of need.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe this is a bad example because it's maybe an anomaly. But I look at the Red Sox, and the main difference is that Alex Cora comes back, and the team is on its way to the World Series again. It's like, you could see how much of a difference a manager can make and how much of a difference a bad manager
They also can make. They never really lacked the talent. Yeah, Mookie Betts was gone, but they actually picked up that slack pretty fucking quick. The other guys around that, the core of that team was there. And they have, it's like they took the partial season off a little bit. I mean, JD Martinez was a shell of himself for that year and then came back. Devers and Bogarts are,
okay,
you know,
why did they come back?
I don't think it's all Cora. I'm not putting all of that on Cora.
No,
there's a drastic difference.
Do you think he's a big?
He's a piece of it, but he's not. He doesn't affect the talent that's on that team. They still had talent on that team, and they brought in. they smartly brought in role players that were complementary to those guys. The guys that they brought over were smart. They were good baseball players. Good baseball players that didn't follow the same pattern as some of their other guys. They changed it up. They added complementary baseball players. And when you have complementary baseball players that will just, again, make the other guys better on the field, the manager job becomes so much easier. You just become a motivator at that point. Like, you're more of a rah-rah guy than actually like going out and effectively tweaking what you have on the playing field. Because the Yankees, what they had, it didn't match. It was a Tetris board that got stacked. You know, did I just date myself with Tetris? I don't even know if that's still a thing, but the roster was not the right roster. And the way you look at the complementary pieces that the Red Sox brought in, they brought in good baseball players, not great baseball players, not superstars, but ones that could play ball, were gritty, that complemented their superstars. And I give them credit for that. Yankees need to freaking look at what they did and how they went from zero to, you know, about to go to the World Series and effectively make some changes similar in that vein.
Do you know many people in Boston consider Alex Cora the face of the Red Sox franchise?
Yeah, I believe that. He's outspoken because he's outspoken.
Okay. It's like a Alex Cora like love affair, but it's just like, and I hate the
he's
guy.
He's also done some dumb shit. He does. He does some dumb in-game stuff as well. Like in certain moments, like every manager is going to make mistakes.
And the Astros have a walking fossil as their manager, and they're in their fifth straight ALCS. So who the hell knows?
Right.
Hey, Dusty.
Sometimes you can just be so talented that it doesn't matter. Maybe that's what the Yankees were in 2018 and 2019. Maybe it was Aaron Boone who was actually making good decisions in 2018 and 2019. I don't know. The fact is, 2020 and 2021, the team was not talented enough and the roster was not good enough to just wipe out all other potential issues. And again, I still think Boone is a potential issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the majority of people who watch this team will agree that the players on the field were not the right fit for what they needed to get to the promised land. You know, whether they performed perfectly or not, still wasn't the right, like the style of baseball was not it. So if you're going to apply the analytics to this team, one, I hope that they're able to tweak. You could still be analytically driven and not totally, totally dependent on the home
boom
run
or bust
or the strikeout. You can still find that mix. And I'm very hopeful that I pray to God that they can find that mix. Cause when you look at some of these other teams, they still hit, they hit the ball, they spray the ball. They have guys who can hit.
Houston struck out the least in the American League this year.
Yeah.
And they're analytically driven.
Right.
They're a home run team, but they had the least amount of strikeouts.
Yeah.
As an offense.
If you could just cut the strikeouts down, if you could just cut the strikeout guys down, cut them off the team, fit in some role player guys, oh my God, it would be such a better brand of baseball to watch.
Yeah. And you also need guys that can play better defense. You need more athleticism. You need smarter baseball players. I think there's far too many dumb baseball players on this team. And when you have a dumb manager and dumb baseball players, you do a lot of dumb
things.
Too many
one-trick ponies is what they are. There's too many. Uh-huh. There are too many Adam Dunns, as we said before. Too many Adam Dunns. You cannot win with multiple Adam Dunns. It just doesn't work.
If Joey Gallo's striking out 200 times,
that's
he's
what I'm saying.
Rose kill himself.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. This is going to be a lot to talk about. There's arbitration stuff that we're going to talk about.
Arbitration is important this year. There's a lot. 19 guys on arbitrate. They're eligible. Big decisions that are going to be made there, I think.
We'll talk about that coming up on an episode very soon. Scott and I will do our annual general manager game that we always do. And the CBA is always lingering, so I'm sure that'll throw
December some, 1st, baby. December 1st.
Sure, that'll throw some wrenches in everybody's plans because there'll be a shit show there. But we obviously had to talk about the news today.
I'm going to Vegas tomorrow, so I'm really trying to make an excuse for us to record an episode while I'm out there so I can record in that studio.
Okay. I'll be here. All right. Everybody, whether you're happy or sad about this,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Find the good in the situation and hold on to that, because there's no reason for all of us to be miserable for the offseason All of this stuff is happening. And I'm talking to you, Andrew Rotondi, and I'm talking to other people who are just holding on to these things. You can't do anything about it. It's done. It is done.
It's done. Shut up. Go buy a chicken bucket and enjoy it.
Enjoy
it. Like it. You sit down and like it.
They're going to add some baseball players that go gap to gap, and it's going to be fine.
You enjoy that $24 soggy bucket of chicken, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.